doesn't have the strings attached, which is not seen through the corporate filter. And KBOO has the public affairs that's put on by people from the community. And we also have the most diverse and the best music of any radio station in Oregon, or probably even the country, or maybe even the world, the universe.
I know galaxy. I have a friend in Seattle who's very jealous that we're living in Portland and we have KBOO. He said there's really nothing like that in Seattle. They have some interesting music stations like KEXP, but they don't do anything like the public affairs, and actually not even close to the diversity of music that you hear here on KBOO. So we're very fortunate in Portland. So let's keep this going.
Yes, 877-500-5266.
In fact, KBOO has been around, Rolf, since 1968.
68, yeah.
So we're very well established. And again, that's thanks to people like you. 80%
of our
operating budget per year comes from people like you, our members.
Yeah, you know, I think we just made our matching thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. That's great. Yeah, so we had enough people to call that we had this matching contribution.
But I got to tell the listeners, guys, if you haven't called yet, you're not off the hook.
Yes.
We're still taking phone calls till midnight tonight.
Yes. 877-500-5266. This is your last chance to give to the news. This is our last day.
To support our news, our public affairs, Democracy Now. Amy Goodman, in fact. I know a lot of Amy Goodman fans. She's actually coming to Portland. She'll be here Sunday to do a benefit, especially for KBOO, and to promote her new book on 20 years of Democracy Now. And all the tickets are sold out, but Rolf, is one way where listeners can get in. And that is to become, or to buy a VIP ticket. Only way you could do that is to call KBOO, ask for Monica or Becky. They're $200 per ticket. That also gets you an hour and a half session with Amy over wine and appetizers.
Yeah, you get to hang out with Amy and over wine and appetizers. Kind of a real cool thing, but yes.
877-500-5266. Now's the time to call. Again, it's the very last day of the spring membership drive. If you've been waiting over the
now is the time.
Now is the time. 877-500-5266.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners for donating food to our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by an anonymous donor. Lunch was provided by Bamboo Grove, located at 515 Southwest Carolina Street. Dinner was provided by Kuya's Cuisine at the Filipino-American Center of Portland, 8917 Southeast Stark Street.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair-accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
'Til I know's gone. Hello, Portland. Hello. Welcome to Trans Positive PDX. I'd like to give all of our hosts a chance to say hello, starting to my right.
Hi, I'm Nicolette James.
I'm Rowan Everard.
And I'm Natasha Delapine.
And my name is Emma Lugo, and my preferred pronouns are she and her. And we are so excited. Today we have on Kate Borenstein, author of A Queer and Pleasant Danger, Gender Outlaw, and so many books. Kate is a transgender heroine, pioneer, gender theorist, playwright, and just a wonderful, wonderful gift to our community. So we're going to have her on in just a minute. And we also have on today Janice Covington Allison. And Janice is an activist from North Carolina who is active fighting the bathroom bills. So we are just super excited. How's everybody doing?
Well, I'm doing great.
I'm doing fantastically. I'm still laughing about Carly Fiorina and Ted Cruz trying to raise their hands together. You should definitely Google that, everyone who is listening.
I've been excited with the membership drive, which is almost out of wrap. We're ending at midnight tonight for KBOOs.
This is so exciting. I heard from Lisa Levine that we're within $10,000 of our goal.
We're getting close.
Yeah. Oh, that's very exciting.
And it's important to announce right away at the start of the show, our goal for the show is $250. And we have a $250 matching grant that someone has given specifically in the name of Transpositive PDX. So we really hope that you'll call tonight at 877-500-5266 and make a donation to KBOO. It's through unique community programming like Transpositive PDX, Queer People of Color Talk, and other queer programming blocks that the Queer Voice is able to get out into the community throughout Portland and across the entire state. So please call 877-500-5266 and give generously to KBOO.
Thank you for donating today.
Yes. So do we have our guests on? Okay, great. Well, let's just go right away first. Let's say hi to both of our guests at the same time. And then we're going to ask if we can start with Kate. So Kate, are you there?
I am indeed.
Oh, welcome.
Hello, yay. Kate.
Hi.
Welcome to
KBOO. I'm so pleased to be back in Portland. Yay!
Hooray. I'm so pleased to speak with you right now.
I'm so excited to finally be able to talk to you.
Auntie Kate, yay!
And Portland, too. Thank you so much for joining us during our pledge drive. We're so excited to have you on. We're within $10,000 of our goal. We've raised almost $120,000, which goes a long way towards paying our programming needs for this upcoming six-month period. So thank you for joining us. And then we also have on Janice Covington Allison. Janice, are you there?
I am. How y'all doing out there in Portland, Oregon?
Hi, Janice.
Hi.
We're doing well.
Really good. Thank you so much. Janice, thank you for joining us and taking the time to talk to us about what's going on in North Carolina. So we'd like to start with Kate. If that's all right, Janice, we're going to start with Kate, and we're just going to talk about Kate's book and about her health and whatever else people have questions about. So who would like to go first?
I wouldn't mind starting if I will. I have my experience with Kate's books. As a college student, I read them being a queer individual myself and being intersex. I never fit into any one gender identity. When I was 8 years old, I found out that I was different. So it was very eye-opening, and it was a warm book to read, The Gender Outlaws. And now coming further from that, your experiences now, what has changed for you as a performer and an activist for the audience you've seen over the years? What has changed from the eyes you've had now to see everything else that's changed with us? How are we different?
Everything is more nuanced now. When I was growing up in the 50s and the early 60s, we were told that the very smallest particle of all is the atom. And we believed that, and so that we talked about atoms, and then we found out about protons and neutrons and electrons. And we thought, oh, that's the smallest. And, of course, that's silly nowadays. We know about quantum particles. We have large hadron colliders. We speak in a much more nuanced way about particle physics. Same with gender. When I was first trying to come to terms with what I called being not man, not woman. There was no word like non-binary or binary gender system. I think I used bipolar gender system at the time. I did. You know, we didn't think about it.
It was the Cold War.
Yeah.
We did have a lot of twos.
So
a dichotomy, so
even
if you will.
For example, today, Time magazine a couple of years ago said transgender hit a tipping point. And I thought, no, it didn't. it did not. There's way too many trans people, transgender people, who are nowhere near. Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I just hit the dumb button. We've got 7 seconds.
Oh, good. Okay.
Liam, when are we back on?
Messing around with gender was transgender.
Okay, go ahead.
But
we're good.
Now, when we say transgender, and this is according to mainstream media and definitions, transgender means a man or a woman who has transitioned out of another gender. And so it's a binary-oriented gender identity. And that, in fact, yes, that's reached a tipping point. So the nuance of language has changed the most, and we get into big tussles about who's really transgender and who's not. And that's sad. Rather than just allowing people to have fun with their gender or be serious with it as they will,
in other
we're
words,
fighting with each other.
So Kate and Janice, if you can hold on for about 3 minutes, we're going to go over to Pledge Central real quick, and we're going to talk about why it's important to support KBOO.
You don't have to go to Pledge Central. We're already all here together. 877-500-5266. This is a brand new show, and we're so proud of this gorgeous show.
Was that the first night tonight, I think? Transpositive.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure.
Transpositive is on for the first time tonight, 6 to 7 p.m. Call us right now and support this show and support trans programming on KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Support this brand new show. You know, you hear the hosts on the air, brand new hosts. Emma Lugo is created this collective, and it's an amazing thing that's happening. I'm so happy to have trans programming back on KBOO. You know, a while ago we had Gender Blender, and then for a while we didn't have any trans-focused programming, but now we have this show and another show. If you heard last week, that amazing show with Nia Gwynn hosting, wow, that was really powerful. And it's now up on the KBOO website, kboo.fm. Support LGBTQ programming on KBOO, and whatever you support on KBOO, do it now. Now, any programming that you've listened to and you've learned something and you thought to yourself, that is something I did not know before. If you shared information that you learned on KBOO and you thought to yourself, this is a valuable resource for my community, show your support right now. This is the last day of our membership drive. You've put it off. You're procrastinated. Oh, and we're in a matching period. Never a better time to give. 877-500-KBOO.
Kern and Thompson LLC has made the generous offer to match the next $250 in donations called in during Transpositive. So that's 877-500-5266. We have a bunch of tickets to Cuban Dance Malpaso. Ticket Tuesday. That's for... Each ticket is for a $60 minimum pledge. That's only $5 a month. And I just want to say, we really strongly recommend that people give 1 hour's wage per month to KBOO. And that way, even if you're making minimum wage, which is $9.25 an hour for now, it might be 15, closer to 15 later, that $9.25 contribution is like about 110, a hundred and something bucks. And it's gorgeous. And it'll be doubled. 877-500-5266. We have a lot of support going on. You could come in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. We would love to see you. So we'll put some coffee on. We're going to have a fun time. This is the last night.
Few hours, in fact, up until midnight. And we are raising $25,000. Well, we're all on our way. We're more than halfway there. I think we've got about $12,000 to go before midnight. And we can do it. We have raised a lot of money this drive. We're trying to raise $120,000 by midnight tonight. We need your support in order to do that. Whether you could give $10 a month, $5 a month gets you a t-shirt. $10 a month, you can get a tickets, or you could get the flash drive filled with exclusive KBOO content. Whatever gift you pick up, the real gift, of course, is KBOO, and the fact that we have trans programming back. Support that at the very least, and say I'm really glad that KBOO is giving a voice to marginalized communities. The number to call, 877-500-5266. Call right now and support this show and the many programs that we have on KBOO.
Right on, and thanks to all the people that have called.
All right, we're back. Kate, Janice, are you both still there?
Still here, Kate.
Oh, great. Thank you. So we're gonna ask Kate a couple more questions, and then Janice, we're gonna get to you after that. So thank you for your patience. So Nicolette.
All right. So first of all, Kate, I just wanted to say I'm really excited to be talking to you today because as a non-binary pansexual person, you know, I was really thrilled when reading Gender Outlaw that I related to so much of what you were saying about not being able to fit in these boxes society tries to shove you into as male or female, gay or straight, no in between. You know, it was like you were talking about my life. So I'm really glad to have this opportunity to talk to you today. So something I wanted to ask you about regarding Gender Outlaw is I remember this passage where you talked about how society isn't just creating gender roles, it's creating gender itself. And it's so deeply ingrained into our culture that people don't even question our culture's own creation. And it reminds me of how Barbara J. Risman believes gender is a socially constructed stratification system used to justify inequities and subordinate women to men. Because, you know, in a world where sexual anatomy is used to dichotomize human beings into types, the differentiation itself diffuses both claims and expectations for gender equality. And according to Anthony Giddens' structuration theory, social structures shape individuals while simultaneously individuals shape social structures. So social structures are created by human action. I guess I wanted to know, do you think there's any actions we can take to instill major social change and begin to deconstruct the social structure that is gender?
Good question. I think we need to be looking at where gender is really being held in place and paying very close attention to the people who are holding gender in place, whether that be in our family, at school, at the corner store, in the bar, wherever. Pay very close attention to who's holding a one-up, one-down gender system in place, and then figure out how to make those people laugh.
That's a good point.
I think that's something that every one of us can do.
All right, great, Kate, thank you. Another thing that you talked about that I relate to so much is, you know, you talked about how you have PTSD and borderline personality disorder, and I have those same disorders as well. And I found...
Oh, you're just as wacky as I am.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
I think we all are in some way.
I think so, too, but yay us, okay.
Yay.
Yes.
So I found that transgender people who have mental illnesses are especially stigmatized because the argument that most transphobes are using against the trans community is that we must only be this way because we're mentally ill. Even though recent scientific studies have proven that being trans in itself is not a mental illness, there's still all the stigma and harassment surrounding us both outside and inside the trans community because they try to use us to claim that we prove their point. So what do you think we can do to end the stigma against trans people with mental illness?
Oh, good question.
Oh, boy, that's going to take a long time. I think we can join up with people who are trying to fight, trying to end the stigma of anybody with mental illness. There are going to be activists who are working on that and activists who are working on trans issues totally or solely. And I think at this point, now that we're finally beginning to talk intersectional analysis and intersectional activism needs to grow out of that. And that hasn't happened much yet. It's happened with trans people holding up the sign for Black Lives Matter. And we see more and more race activists, black activists, standing up for trans people. So there is an intersectional activism. But there's no intersectional activism yet for both trans and people with mental illness.
And Rowan, would you like to ask a question?
Yeah. Hi. I bothered you once after one time you spoke at PSU. So thanks for being such a good sport.
Yes.
I'm in a lot of trans spaces and sort of, you know, women, feminist spaces, et cetera. And I've watched over the years the evolution of women's only space into now there's this semi-awkward thing of like women and trans space. And I know what the goal of that sort of sorting is, but it seems like there's also problems there with people then having to kind of make sure that everybody knows they're trans if they're in those spaces, and that gets kind of creepy sometimes. So I'm wondering what you think about this phenomena of gender-specific activist space and sort of how we can thread that needle as a trans community when we need a safe space to come together, how to handle that.
Wow. That's another good question. This is a great radio show.
Thank you.
No, this is good. You're asking real important questions. Gender-specific activism is hopefully going to go the way of gender-specifics. And as gender specifics are being questioned and questioned and questioned, going, oh, really? You're saying women only? What's a woman? Oh, really? Men only? What's a man? Right now, I think who could raise a flag that we could all kind of follow is feminism. And feminism needs to get out of the idea that it's men, period, who are holding everybody down. It's men who are holding up the patriarchy, and it's men who are oppressing people. And it's not so much men. It's real manly men. And anybody who is not, it's not men versus women. It's real manly men and everybody else, which would include sissy boys, which would include all kinds of women and trans people and gender nonconforming people. And as soon as we can step up with breaking the binary of men versus women, we'll be able, I believe, then to break the binary of gender-specific activism and politics. Thank you. Good question.
Great. Thank you, Kate. So we are going to take another really quick break and head over to Pledge Central because this is our pledge drive and we are getting so close to our goal.
Thank you for donating.
So, Lisa, take it away.
Thanks, Emma. This is Jenka. I'm here with Lisa. We are trying to raise $25,000 by midnight tonight, and that will keep our community radio station strong. We want to thank everyone who has given so far. We want to encourage you to call during this brand new show, Trans Positive, because this is a matching period. That means that any amount that you give up to $250 will be matched. If you can do $250, that will be $500 for KBOO right now. The number to call is 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-KBOO. That match is good even if you get a thank you gift. It counts towards the match. So if you do a $20 a month contribution, if you sign up for that, you can get the KBOO hoodie. Wear that around town. It is, as Mike Crenshaw says, a dope hoodie. And you wear that around town. You show off that you're a KBOO supporter. You can only get that for the $20 a month membership. And that means that $240 donation will be matched and we get $480 here towards our goal. So call right now, 877-500-5266. Make that commitment of $20 a month. I know you could do it. think about it. Can you budget that in for your community?
Actually, we've raised more than $10,000 already. Woo! Just today. So we need to raise $13,470 to reach our great big hairy goal. And hey, I have to tell you something. Silas is a new member from Salem. Woo! We love new members, and we love people who are beyond Portland. Can I just put that out? We love people that are sort of over Portland. And if you do, give us a call, 877-500-5266. That's a toll-free call. So Silas, he didn't have to pay a whole lot of money to make that call. And if you are in rural southern Oregon, if you're along the wonderful Willamette Valley, or if you're in the gorgeous Columbia Gorge, we would love to hear from you too. 877-500-5266. It's a matching period. Kern and Thompson LLC is matching the first $250 in contributions called in during Trans Positive, our brand new show that I'm so proud of. We're all proud of the show. It's a wonderful show. Couldn't even be more timely. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Jenka, you were going to say something.
Well, I want to encourage people to think about getting this ticket package. We have a pair of tickets. We actually have three pairs of tickets to What the Festival. This could be a great weekend out with a loved one. Go out to Dufour, Oregon, and it's electronica all weekend long, the 17th to the 20th of June. Now, this is a retail value of $550, so if you buy it from the website of What the Festival, it's $550. Well, you can get it here at KBOO for less than the retail value. That's $500 contribution to KBOO. You get the tickets to the festival for less than their retail value, and you get your KBOO membership out of it. So think about that as a possibility. If you could do that, that would meet our match for this hour. If you could give $20 low-income membership, we even have a $10 youth membership for the year, 21 and under. If you are somebody who this show and queer programming on KBOO is really a lifeline for you, that you're listening and you're thinking, wow, there are people like me and I am really supportive of that, call us up and let us introduce yourself and let us know that you're out there and that you support the programming that you hear on KBOO tonight. 877-500-5266. It's so important that you call. This is the last few hours of our membership drive. If you've been procrastinating, yay, don't procrastinate any longer. Call right now. 877-500-KBOO.
Yay!
Great. We are back on Trans Positive, and we are so fortunate here to be joined tonight by Kate Bornstein and by Janice Covington Allison. And we'd like to go to Janice for a few minutes because Janice is doing really important work in North Carolina. I was introduced to Janice through my good friend Marissa Richmond, who is a national trans organizer and a Southerner. And I came to Marissa to find out if she had connections in North Carolina, because we've all been hearing about what's been going on in North Carolina. We've been hearing about the celebrities refusing to go to North Carolina, sporting events canceling, and we've heard about all of the backlash that's been going on because of this legislation, which is trying to discriminate against trans people. And unfortunately, it's also spawning a lot of related legislation. So without any further ado, Janice, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what's going on in your home state of North Carolina?
Well, first of all, Kate, I grew up in the 50s and 60s also, so we're both old. But anyway, Marissa and I were delegates together at the Democratic National Convention in 2012, and I love her. She's really a great woman. And right now in North Carolina, we are definitely having problems. HB2 is the bill name that the state legislators, the GOP, rushed through in one day in 4 hours. And this bill, along with taking powers away from the city government to pass non-discrimination ordinances, controlling the minimum wage, that the city could raise the minimum wage if it feels like the people that work in the city can't support themselves within the environment of a cost of living of that city, and also has given the rights to private businesses to refuse service, not only to transgender people, but all gays and lesbians and anyone else, whether they're black, white, it doesn't make any difference. They can refuse service. And the biggie is they've dubbed it the bathroom bill, HB2, and they're not allowing transgender people who identify men or women to use the restroom according to their identity. And that is only in government buildings. And that includes the airport, that includes the coliseums that the government owns. I can't even go to a city council meeting because I have no place to go to the bathroom. I can't go to the General Assembly meeting in Raleigh because I have no place to go to the bathroom. And, you know, being my age of 69 and also a diabetic, you know, if you know anything about diabetics, when we got to go, we got to go. And, you know, they are marginalizing myself along with the transgender community. And, you know, it's unconstitutional. I feel like the 14th Amendment is violated. And also they have violated Title IX and Title VII. And right now we have a suit in federal court, and hopefully the judges will take care of that for us. And also we need to get rid of our governor, who's been, I'm not going to say, he's got a lot to be desired, put it that way. But there you go. That's it.
Janice, thank you so much for your brave work. It's so important, and we really honor you for the space that you're holding in North Carolina. Can you tell us about some of the work that's going on to try to overturn this bill?
Well, thank you. I'm just one of many that's working on this bill. One of the state senators, Jeff Jackson, has introduced a bill to overturn and repeal. Also, Trish Cochran, who's in the House of Representatives, she's been working on it, along with many Democrats in the state. A few of the Republicans have changed their minds since they voted. We have Equality North Carolina that's working on it. We have different coalitions in the state that's come together, along with the Moral Monday March, which is has been going on, I don't know, for the last 3 or 4 years in Raleigh, and they conduct sit-ins and stuff, and you know, our state has been gerrymandered. Our districts has been set to where it's in favor of Republicans. They've passed the voter ID law that, you know, is difficult for a lot of older people, senior citizens that don't have picture IDs. And, you know, our state has just gone to hell in a handbasket, if you know what I mean. And, you know, we're coming together. This state is coming together. We are not what everybody says North Carolina is. And we plan on making changes in November.
Well, we understand. And the country is coming together, too, in support of trans North Carolinians and in support of gay, lesbian. And I think that what you said was really important, that this is also something that allows private businesses to discriminate against people based on race, which is really significant and really bad.
Yeah, I started this site. You can look at the site. You can look it up, justaskandtell.com. I started this site 2 days after HB2 bill was passed. And I have went around to restaurants myself and walked in, and the first thing I say to the hostess is, if I sit down and eat, can I use the ladies' room? And I have not had anyone tell me no yet. And I have a list on that site, justaskandtell.com, of Carolina Panthers. I have the Charlotte Knights baseball team, Charlotte Motor Speedway, NASCAR, and I have many, many, many restaurants that are all accepting, and they say, come on, transgender people can eat in their restaurant and use the bathroom according to their gender presentation.
Thank you. Kate, do you have any questions that you would like to ask Janice or any comments on this topic?
Yeah, is there anything? Thank you for asking. Janice, thank you. Thank you, and congratulations on your hard work. And you know what? You're older than me. I rarely meet people who are older than me, you old thing.
Hello.
I do want to know, what can we who are out of state do that would give you the most support?
I think, in my opinion, everybody across this nation needs to write letters, emails to the North Carolina General Assembly, to all of the House members and to the Senate members, and express their displeasure of what these people had done to North Carolina. North Carolina, their education was one of the top in the country, and now has fallen down into the, I think, somewhere around 40-something in the ratings for education because of the GOP. What's going on is the religious fundamentalist has actually moved into our government. They have actually taken over our government, not just in North Carolina, but also across this country. Everywhere these bills are popping up is from the religious fundamentalists. These are the people that say transgender people are child molesters and sexual predators and stuff. And I have been called that to my face before, and I went after that guy, and I was kind of held back, if you know what I mean.
Good for you.
But we're all Americans, whether we're in North Carolina, whether we're in California or Portland, Oregon. We're all together in this, as a quote that Bill Clinton said at one time. We are all together in this.
Great. Well, thank you so much. One of our hosts here tonight has prepared a segment talking about some of the bathroom bills that are up right now. So we wanted to give him a chance to add to this conversation, Rowan.
Yeah. So
I'm going to take this moment to say bye-bye and congratulations again on your amazing show.
Oh, thank you.
And I wish you very well with your fundraising. And for anybody who wants to take Janice up on her request that we contact North Carolina General Assembly, the website is ncleg.net. Again, ncleg.net. And please write in. And that seems to be like what we can do out of state to help the most.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Please, everybody, give lots of money and let's support this show.
Thank you. Thank you, Kate. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate and Jen.
Again.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
And good luck.
No, Janice, please stay on.
Yeah, I'm about to say a bunch of stuff that you might have disagreements with, or you might be able to add useful stuff, so feel free to jump in. My name is Rowan, and I'm here to talk more about the framing of why this is all happening now than get into, like, super granular detail about each state and their individual terrible bills, because there's a whole, like, terrible cornucopia of bills. So one of the things I just want to say is that there's, I think, like, three broad categories of bills that I've seen. The first are the bathroom bills. Some of them are targeted at schools, and some of them are targeted at, like, private areas, and some both. Then you've got a couple bills that are, like, extra dastardly, that are trying to prevent people from being able to make vital records changes. So that's IDs, birth certificates, and that really opens people up to a whole other vat of horrifying systemic discrimination. If you can't get the correct identification, it's just your healthcare access, your access to housing, everything is just bad. And then the third is this direct attack on access to trans healthcare. So there's a bill, I think one or two bills in certain states, where they're trying to say that insurance companies can't cover trans healthcare, which, like, insurance companies don't need any incentive to not cover trans healthcare, because a lot of them already don't and don't want to, but just want to make extra sure that people can't get the care they need, which I will add is medically necessary, according to the American Medical Association and everybody else who matters. So those are, like, the three broad buckets of terrible legislation, and some people are doing some of both and all of whatever. Why this is happening now is, one, because it's an election, and more importantly, because they lost the fight against gay marriage, and we always knew that they would come for us when they were done with the gays. That was just, you could see that coming a mile away. As soon as the gays, and I don't mean that pejoratively, but, like, you know, not that there aren't big bad things happening to gay people either, sure, still are, but as far as the national discourse was concerned, for a long time, the Republican Party was able to turn out their voter base by opposing these super terrible anti-gay, like, marriage bans and whatever, from the 90s to about now. They didn't try really in 2012 as much, but it worked really well for them for a little while, especially in the elections of 2000 and 2004. And then it stopped working for them. They stopped doing it. People started to not like them, think they were gross. So they were like, let's see, our voter base hates us. What can we do to make them like us again? Look, trans people look vulnerable. Let's go punch trans people. So that's what they're doing. And it's pretty. And so the religious crazy town groups that shopped all of the anti-gay bills are the same ones behind the anti-trans bills. So you've got the Family Research Council, they're all these really innocuously named groups, like the, you know, Religious Freedom and Happy Times Council, and like whatever, but like they're all, you know, it's the same people. And I'm not exactly sure. So one of the things that I think is really fascinating is that when the anti-gay bills got proposed in, you know, 2000 and whatever, they weren't against federal law. Like, they were bad. People didn't like them, but they weren't violating federal law. Now, a lot of these bills actually do violate federal law because you have what was referenced before, Title IX and Title VII. That's the Civil Rights Act. The Civil Rights Act is kind of a big deal.
Okay, we're going to take a little break and go back over to Pledge Central and talk about why we need to support KBOO.
Right on. I am Lisa. I'm here with my sister, Jenka, and we are trying to make the phones ring. 877-500-5266. We just have a few hours left of the spring membership drive. We've made more than $10,000 today. People are stepping up, and we're in a matching period right now. So Kern and Thompson LLC will match your pledge dollar for dollar, but you have to call 877-500-5266. And we would also like to invite you to come in person. We are located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Give some money. We've got tickets. We've got cool stuff. The festival tickets are going to be awesome.
We still have those. Just a couple of those available.
And that's for a $500 pledge, and you get a pair of tickets. And we were talking about how Thievery Corporation is headlining that festival. That's going to be wild in July.
We had people out there last year. It was a great show, a great weekend. So that's the 17th to the 20th of June, and that's an Electronica show. But you know, there's so many tickets that we have, and other thank you gifts. We've got books, we have t-shirts. The best way actually is come on down 20 Southeast 8th. You can look through what the thank you gifts are and choose one. Or if you don't have time to do that, call us and ask the person on the phone, and they will let you know all the different options. I personally would go for the KBOO versus the Media Zillas shirt.
I like that
one. It is a $5 a month contribution, and it shows KBOO as a community radio station airplane fighting these massive media corporations that are taking over and chewing up the town of Portland.
It's basically Godzilla versus a dragon, and that cartoon was made by Matt Worker, the Pulitzer Prize winning cartoonist, just for KBOO.
Yeah, you know, all of our t-shirts are a local artist that created them. So give us a call, support KBOO, get yourself a t-shirt, get yourself a set of tickets to one of these shows this summer, and just enjoy being a part of this community. If you could increase your monthly donation, do that as well. Maybe you're already a monthly donor and you could just do a $50 contribution to help us out right now. 877-500-5266. We're all coming together to make this happen today.
Great. So we're back. We're going to finish with Rowan talking about the bathroom bills and ask Janice to comment on that. Are you on?
Doesn't seem like... Oh, here I am. Great. Okay. So, hi. Yeah, I'm just going to chat for a minute more about the Civil Rights Act and Department of Education. So, Civil Rights Act, as you may know, was passed during the late 60s. Huge deal. Governs anything that involves federal money, basically, has to conform to the Civil Rights Act. So, there's this thing called the Department of Education, which was also created, I believe, in the 60s. And that was created because we have this federal mandate for K-12 education, and a lot of places don't have enough, are so poor that they can't actually fund schools just with local income tax the way that some communities do. And so, there was this push to say, well, if we are mandating that people have this, then we need to fund it federally. Of course, the catch is that if you get federal funding, you have to follow federal law. So the Civil Rights Act was passed, and at the time, the huge controversy that came out of that was that it it basically forced integration because you couldn't segregate schools if you were receiving federal money. A lot of places that wanted to segregate schools are super poor because they're in super poor parts of the South. And so the Department of Education is something that conservatives have been wanting to get rid of since its creation because they correctly, to some extent, see it as a way of the federal government enforcing not discriminating against people because, wow. So now we're at this place where the Department of Education is saying the Obama administration has consolidated this legal consensus that that Title VII and IX cover trans people because it's discrimination based on sex. So there's all these schools in North Carolina and other places that might pass this legislation that will get their federal funding revoked. The Department of Education is considering right now whether or not to do that. And why this is really controversial and significant is that for them, if I was in their shoes, they're looking at it saying, if we withdraw the millions and millions and millions of dollars that we're pouring into this state, tons of people won't have schools anymore. But if we don't enforce federal law, then all of these other states will get the message that they don't have to follow federal law. And then they're going to do all this stuff too. And that's going to be terrible. So I don't know what the Department of Education is going to do. We're going to hear from them in the next couple of weeks, but it's going to be hugely important to hear what they do. And it's also the main reason why Pat McCrory and friends are even willing to consider something like repealing or modifying this legislation, because they actually are in charge of governing their state and making sure it doesn't burn up in a horrible fire of doom. So they kind of need schools as part of that whole plan. So it's going to be just the incentives within the Republican Party are on one side, and the incentives of actually governing their state are on the other side. And it's fascinating to see them try to do both, and they can't actually do both. So I wouldn't want to be them.
So Janice, what are your thoughts about that?
I got dropped a minute ago. I'm watching it along.
Oh, yes, hey, Janice, welcome back. Did you hear any of Rowan's comments about the Department of Education?
Yeah. Let me back up two steps. Kate asked, what can the transgender community do for North Carolina? It's what the transgender community can do for itself nationwide. And I have come up with an idea that I'm implementing right now, that transgender people need to educate people, not just the LG community. They need to get out and go to the general public. For example, I've been to a church and gave a sermon. I go out many times and sit with people and talk to people and educate people about me. Transgender people, you know, from what I've seen, you know, myself, they pretty much stay to themselves, pretty much stay within the LGB community, and very seldom ever venture out on their own. And I'm going to start in about a week or two, I'm going to start traveling this state and talking to people, to anybody who will listen to me. And I'm going to educate people about transgender people and who we are. We're not the monsters that they say we are.
Yeah, even in some place like Portland, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what being transgender is. And so thank you so much for, you know, really getting out there and being visible and being proud. I think that visibility is an important step that we need to take in order to move forward. And I think it goes in line with what Rowan was saying. Rowan was talking about how he was talking about how after gay marriage and after the religious right lost control of the gay marriage issue, they started to focus on the trans community. And so right now we're kind of their walking target.
That's the religious fundamentalist. And she was talking about education. Right now, Pat McCrory and his marauders are being threatened by the Department of Education of losing, I think it's $4 billion a year in education funds.
Yeah, with a B.
I mean, we've lost over $1 billion in jobs and revenues coming to this state in the last past month. How much more can we stand? Pat McCrory and Dan Bishop, along with Dan Forrest, and Phil Berger, they all got to go. You know, they've turned to, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with the Bible because I'm a Christian, but they have turned to the religious fundamentalists. They have taken money from the religious fundamentalist PACs,
for their campaigns and their own allegiance to these people, to where they're coming down on us as the villains to also deflect what they're really after. And that's what they're really after is taking the rights away from the cities, minimum wage, services that public accommodations like restaurants, taxi cabs, hotels, and it's backfired on them. They're in trouble. Pat McCrory was 5 points ahead of Roy Cooper, his challenger for the governor's seat, and now he's 5 points behind Roy Cooper in just a month.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We have to cut to a commercial break real quick, or not a commercial break, but
no
fundraising break. No commercials ever. But we'll be right back. Thank you so much.
You know, that's what great. We're absolutely non-commercial break. This is we're right here in your community. We are your friends and neighbors, and we're asking for your support. And we don't have any commercials on this station. That's what makes us really different from other stations on the dial. You turn around, and it really infuriates me to hear these stations that are being supported by pharmaceutical corporations, by oil and gas companies, by
Archer,
all of
Daniels,
these
Midland supermarket to the world.
And the listeners are just being delivered into the hands of these companies. KBOO different. All we do is we ask for your support a few times a year. This is our spring membership drive, and that's how this station is supported. It all comes back around. You support the station, and the station supports you, and your community events get out on the air. Your voice gets heard. You are able to come in and participate and volunteer. This is the station that gives back to you in so many ways. So it's very, very different from commercial radio. We're asking you to support that right now. Help us meet the match in the next 11 minutes. 877-500-5266. Help us with a $5 a month contribution, a $10 a month contribution. Maybe you could stretch a little bit and get $20 a month to KBOO, and that will get you the KBOO hoodie. 877-500-5266.
I have the KBOO hoodie. You know, I threw down $240 last year because it was my 25th anniversary as a volunteer at KBOO, and I was pretty psyched about it. And I have to say, it's a beautiful hoodie, but the most beautiful thing about it is just knowing that I invested in something that I can see creates change right in front of me and supports grassroots communities, and you should do that too.
You know, I got the hoodie too.
877-500-5266. I don't believe I've ever donated anything that it's such a big amount of money to anybody except perhaps the government. I'm putting that out.
Yeah, I don't donate to other organizations, not to that amount, but because this is an investment. It's like you're a shareholder, really, in this community radio station. So think of it as like your CSA on the air, and you could be a part of it and help us reach our goal. We still have that matching period going on. If you can give up to $250, we will be able to get a match one for one. So if you give $200, KBOO gets $400.
Hey, Lynn is a new member from Troutdale. I say ring in a whole
a
bunch.
A fan of Transpositive.
Yeah, Lynn is a fan.
You know, another fan we heard online, Brian from Southwest Portland, gave KBOO.FM. New favorite show is Transpositive. So this great new collective is getting some support both on the air and on the website. I want you to be the next person to say yes to community radio, to say yes to a station and a show that has a deep discussion on a meaningful level about gender-specific activism, about gender binaries, about feminism, about discrimination. This is what you hear on KBOO. It's a discussion with your fellow community members that are having this conversation both with you and with the community at large. So do give us a call. Support this station. This is the last day of our membership drive. You procrastinators, now is your time.
You know, it's also
Ticket Tuesday. Don't worry. We won't blame you.
It's Ticket Tuesday. So we want you to have a fabulous, fun summer. We have awesome tickets, and we have tickets to the B-52s. Yep. That one just jumped out at me from the ticket book. Probably nobody listening right now likes to dance.
Duran, Ice Cube. This is another show. I'm sorry. On August 27th, the Waterfront Park Music Fest Northwest, a $90 contribution to KBOO. We've also got the Rose Festival. We got a lot of tickets.
Yeah, happy tickets for your Rose Festival. Happy, happy. But you can't get them unless you give us a call. 877-500-5266. Here's the other thing. We're going to end the membership drive with some great KBOO music tonight. We're going to tell you about that a little later, though, okay? Because we want you to call now, 877-500-5266. 5266. It's a great time to come in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We have gifts. We have coffee. We have some food that was contributed by some interesting, fabulous restaurants here in the local area. And we're going to tell you about what the exciting stuff that's going to be happening in the building later tonight. But we still need you to become a new monthly or sustaining member. Your annual contribution is going to be counted today. $10 a month is going to add $120 towards our goal. $25 a month is going to add $300. You get the idea. 877-500-5266.
You know, if you've never become a KBOO member before, it is really worth it. It's you're a listener. You listen to the programs. Maybe you like our bluegrass shows. Maybe you like our hip-hop shows. Maybe you like our public affairs and you listen to Democracy Now! Or you listen to the KBOO News. And you appreciate the programs that you get that are produced here by volunteers in your community. And you want to support it. Well, now is the time. This is your last chance because this is our membership drive. This is when we come to you and ask for your support. And we are trying to raise a goal. We are getting very, very close to $120,000. We're over $100,000. We are well on our way, and we need your support to raise that last little bit. Please, if you could give $1,000, this is a day for major donors to call. This is also a day for people who maybe could do the low-income or student membership, $20 a year, or anywhere in between. Whatever you can do, call us right now, 877-500-5266. We're almost to our goal. Please help us reach it in the next 5 minutes. 877-500-KBOO.
Okay, we're back.
Thank you.
And we are back.
I thought we were going back to Janice.
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
Janice, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm still
good.
Here.
Oh, hi, great. Janice. We have a couple more questions for you. Thank you so much for sticking with us.
Yeah. So I have a question. Something that I'm concerned about is this dynamic that I see maybe being recreated where the federal government is coming in to enforce a kind of integration that states don't like. And it seems like there's a lot of reactionary feelings and sort of gun waving happening in various parts of the South. And I just wonder, as someone who actually lives in the South, what is your sense of the level of danger of that dynamic currently?
It's hard to say. You know, back in the early 60s, I think it was, they introduced interracial marriage. And it's very similar, you know, to the opinions of the Tar Heels. You know, a lot of people are against it. And you know, each person has the right to marry who they want to marry, regardless of race. But on the transgender issue, it's very similar. We have people that are just ignorant to the fact of what transgender people really are, and you know, it's gonna reach that point. I believe what they're trying to do right now is put it up for a referendum, much like they did in Houston. For November, and I believe really that the people in North Carolina, as we go and as we educate, will vote in favor of doing away with HB2.
Great, and we have time for one last really quick question from one of our hosts.
Hi, Janice. What I wanted to ask is, recently I read that Trans Lifeline, the national hotline for a suicide hotline for transgender people, in the past, they've reported that in the past month their number of daily calls has doubled, and I was wondering if you think that could possibly be linked to the increase in harassment and violence against trans people since HB2 and all these other bills have passed.
Yes, I do. I'm very familiar with that call center. What's really hurting is we have transgender youth, transgender kids that are 6, 7, 8 years old that are going to school. They're being forced to use the bathroom that doesn't correspond with their gender identity. They're being harassed and they're being bullied. We have teenagers. We had two teenagers in the last past year that committed suicide. And what is going on here is our state government is putting this bill on the people and causing these young people to, you know, think in these terms. And, you know, what I'd like to convey to the young people is think before you do it, because suicide is final. There is no coming back. You will not wake up tomorrow.
Well, Janice, thank you so much for being on our show. It has been such an honor to have you on, and thank you so much. We really honor your work. We're going to close out with we're going to close out with everyone going around one more time and saying goodbye, and if they have any final comments. So my name is Emma Lugo,
well,
and I just
want to
go ahead, Janice.
I enjoyed it, and, you know, I love y'all out west, and is it west? Northwest. Is it the Northwest? Heck, I don't know. But anyway, I have been to Portland, but it's been about 40 years, and I love Portland. I was discharged from the Army at Fort Lewis, Washington, and I did get a chance to visit Portland, but I thank you all for having me on the show, and we will prevail with your help. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. And I would like to start with my name is Natasha Delapine. I'd like to give that number for the Trans Lifeline. It's 877-565-8860. If you're dealing with some pretty strong emotion because of this issue or any kind, the Trans Lifeline is 877-565-8860. Thank you, Janice, for your work today and talking with us.
Thank you, and we have about 30 seconds to wrap up.
My name is Rowan. Thank you so much for listening.
I'm Nicolette James. Thank you for listening, and thank you for donating.
Thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful night.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners for donating food to our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by an anonymous donor. Lunch was provided by Bamboo Grove, located at 515 Southwest Carolina Street. Dinner was provided by Kuya's Cuisine at the Filipino-American Center of Portland, 8917 Southeast Stark Street.
One, two, three.